If you can open our Bibles today to Romans chapter 8, we're going to be taking a look at verses 18 through 27. And I did title this, We Have Hope in Our Suffering. And you know, this kind of took on a new meaning to me over this week. As many of you know, my wife was in the hospital, had her, what do they call that thing, the gallbladder removed. Yep. And I can remember her coming out of surgery. And they brought her up to the room after recovery. And I saw her laying there. She's pretty much out of it. But she started groaning, oh, and reached for her side. And today we're going to be learning about groaning, the creation groaning, us groaning, and the Holy Spirit groaning in prayer for us. And I thought, my goodness, you know, here I am praying now for her that the pain would subside and she'd be able to get some rest. And I was thinking, yeah, I am groaning because we're here in our bodies that we have today. But I'm also looking forward to what's to come, that hope we have. And we're going to be covering a lot of that. So it kind of makes it a vivid picture of what Paul is actually talking about here when we go through this. So previously, because it's been a week or but a couple weeks now, Paul told us that if we were truly children of God, then we are led by the Spirit, as he wrote in verse 14 of this chapter, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we saw that we did not receive the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father, showing us that relationship that God wants to have with us. God, through the Spirit, leading us. That Father-Son relationship. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thus the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And though this adoption, and through this adoption, I guess, we became joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, though, so then we can be glorified with him. And this Paul told us in verse 17. He said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So let's read through these verses. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this day, Lord. And we thank you for Paul's word here, Father. And Father, I pray that as we go over this, that it would be real to us. That we would understand what Paul is telling us here. As he points out creation groaning, us groaning, and then the Holy Spirit groaning on our behalf. Father, that we also would just draw closer to you through your word. Be with us, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed to us. So Paul has shown us previously that all who are in Christ are joint heirs of God's kingdom with Christ, since all who are in Christ will share in his sufferings before sharing his glory. Now Paul tells us suffering we will go through is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." We see that Paul understood pain and suffering for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." But Paul considered this to be his light affliction, and he discusses it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From the Jews, he said, "Five times I received 40 stripes minus one." He was whipped. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned," and if you recall, they thought he was dead and hauled him out of the town. "Three times I was shipwrecked, and a night and a day he was in the deep, floating until he made it to shore." Paul considered that all to be a light affliction. And it's just but a moment. When you really think about it, our lives are but a moment in eternity. And if our lives are a moment in eternity, then the little affliction that we actually have here is nothing. Paul, looking at the eternal weight of glory, realizing that this suffering at this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. As a Christian, we will experience suffering because in reality, we have become ambassadors, or you can even say legal aliens in this world which we live. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul wrote, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." What we should be doing as ambassadors, out pleading with people, sharing Christ with them. And we see as ambassadors, many men will hate us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 22, he brings this out. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did the fathers unto the prophets." And Israel did kill the prophets, a lot of them. Paul suffered, but as he suffered, he was looking forward to the glory of the kingdom and the joy of being able to redeem lost men, because that's what he wanted to do, and it was a joy to him to share Christ. So in our suffering, we should not be looking at our current situation, but looking forward to the glory and joy we will have in the kingdom that shall come when our Lord comes to claim us. As Paul noted, our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So Paul now telling us that saved Christians are not the only ones who long for the moment when suffering will be replaced with glory. In fact, creation eagerly longs for it as well. More specifically, the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God, for us, believers, true believers. We know man had been given dominion over all living things that move on the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 28, he says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the earth." Man still has dominion over all living things. So when man sinned, we took the world with us. In Genesis chapter 3, starting in 16, God's judgment for Adam's sin. And he said to the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow. And your conception, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. So we see man's sin not only affecting us, but affecting everything around us. The world in this case. So creation now eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Creation itself, all of God's created plants, animals, people, rocks, water, sky, all of it are waiting for that moment when everything will finally be made right. In Isaiah chapter 55, 12, verse 12, it says this, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And we see that all of nature eagerly looking forward to that day of restoration, go back to the way it was actually created to be. And thus, we get a clue now as to why nature is looking forward to that day. Because he comes and says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Creation is suffering, is subject to futility or frustration. When long ago sin entered the world, God did not create the world this way. And creation itself did not choose this. The trees, the streams, animals, sky did not choose an existence of frustration, of futility. God subjected creation to this futility in response to Adam's sin in the garden. And we saw further in Genesis 9, God talking with Noah after the flood. In chapter 9, verse 2, it says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth on the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb I have given you all things. The Lord gave Noah all mankind after him the permission to hunt and fish. At the same time, the Lord put the dread of man and animals so they would not be effortless prey for him. You know, you think of all the ways that creation suffers for man's sins. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but we know we're not good stewards of God's creation. Yet, all that we do that harms God's creation, we see that creation itself has hope. And now we see why in verse 21, because it says, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Creation waiting, longing for God's children, true believers, those who have that faith in Christ. Paul made it clear that those in Christ are already the children of God. We are joint heirs with Christ by faith, even though we continue to appear on the surface the same as everyone else. We can look around. We do not know who is in Christ and who is not, who is being led by the Spirit, who is not, at first glances and looks. You can walk through the malls and stuff like that, and you kind of get an idea. Sometimes, whoa, where did that person come from? They're not walking with Christ, but we don't know their heart. We make judgment calls sometimes because we're human, but we don't know their heart. We don't know where they're at. I can't look at somebody and say, you're with Christ or not. That day is coming. That time is coming when those in Christ will be glorified. And it will become impossible to deny who are in God's children. Basically, that time when the wheat is separated from the chaff. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When the glory is revealed in the children of God, creation itself will be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We will see the effect of his reign in producing peace and tranquility in that millennium to come. We saw Isaiah, for those of us who are on Wednesday nights, chapter 11. If you recall, he said in verse 5, his righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Creation, looking forward to that reversal of the curse. The day is coming when God will reveal his children in the glory he has for us. And then creation will be set free from its bondage. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. We see here a truth. We are not there yet. In this present moment, all of creation continues to groan together in the pains of childbirth. And it is interesting to me that Paul uses this description because it does help us to understand that the pain is real. You can get that vivid picture of the intensity of the pain. For guys, it's a little different. We were there. In some cases, watching it, we saw the pain, just like when I saw my wife in pain. We didn't really experience it, but as we will see, we probably prayed and groaned to God to help and to heal and to bring them through. But again, as they're going through this pain, there will be that moment of birth when a child is born. When all will be made right and that pain will be pretty much forgotten as you hold that child. The pain's no longer. Now it's focused on the child, the reward of what you've just went through. Jesus used a similar analogy in John chapter 16, verses 21 through 22. He said, "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." And that time comes. So Paul, not ignoring or dismissing human suffering. Pain is real. And we experience it. Creation experiences it. The point here is not that the pain is pleasant because you've had the child. On the contrary, pain is a miserable thing. But knowing what awaits us on the other side is what gets us through the pain. When we are looking at our spouses, our children, as they go through a struggle or some pain in their life, we know that if they trust in Jesus, if they believe and have that faith, they'll get through it. And because we have it, we'll get through it. This is much like a woman in labor to deliver a baby. No woman wants the pain itself, but she is willing to endure it because of the joyful results that it brings. So now Paul takes us from creation groaning to us groaning. In verse 23, he says, "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Paul referring to Christians as those who have God's Spirit within us, with us. The fruits of the first fruits of the Spirit, or the Spirit as the first result of being in Christ. Remember the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Some will call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Such saved believers also groan inwardly in this waiting, but while the creation is waiting for God's children to be revealed in glory, we are waiting for something a little more specific. We wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. God's children through faith in Christ will experience that love, joy, peace, and hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we should also expect to experience suffering. Jesus noted in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So this is not just the suffering of persecution also. Because Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll start in verse 1, where he says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." One of the pains we will all face is the pain of aging. Body parts fail. Joints fail. Just as I saw with my wife. She had a body part that had to be removed. Not only did she have the pain of the part failing, but she had the pain of a doctor having to go in and remove that. And I do praise the Lord that we have that kind of medication and that kind of stuff that we can do to preserve life and allow us to stay here longer. But there was no joy in that. But she knew, as I did, as she went through it, that we had hope in Jesus Christ. We believe. We knew we would see each other again. We wouldn't be given in marriage or married, but we would see each other again. And that, in and of itself, was a blessing. It certainly helped us to get through it. And we know the time is coming when we'll be made new, and pain and suffering will be a thing of the past. No longer remembered for the joy of being a joint heir with Christ. All that pain and suffering, we won't remember that. We'll be with the Lord. But we will still groan for that day. And our present circumstances, while we can smile and joke about it, as guys do, it's a big thing, you know. "Oh, I got this aching pain. Oh, yeah, I got this one. I've had this removed. I got 3 heart bypasses. I got 4. No, I got 5. You know, as guys, we kind of do that stuff and joke around it. But we groan for each other, pray for each other. I could tell you that as a Christian, many of times I am groaning, again, not only for my wife and family as I pray, but for my brothers and sisters. And if you're in Christ, I know you do it too. That pain of aging, pain of a fallen world, the pain of suffering, is really only relieved by our hope in Christ. So here we are as believers who have come to Christ. We have been adopted by what Paul calls the Spirit of adoption, or the Holy Spirit. We are now children of God, waiting for the adoption to be completed, for our Father to come pick us up. We have been freed from the eternal penalty of sin, but our bodies continue to experience that temporary consequences of sin, that death. And our bodies will die. We're waiting for our bodies then to be redeemed after we die physically, and then to be resurrected with Christ. And that is our hope. He goes on, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? That hope of the resurrection, being with God as his children. The hope that brought us to faith in Christ in the first place. It's everything everyone longs for as a believer. And we even groan for it. Our hope is certain, but as of yet has not come about or been materialized at this point. We can't see it. If we could, Paul writes, it would not be hope. The life of a Christian is a life of anticipation. When we finally see it, it becomes then a reality. It is no longer the realm of hope. In that case, hope is always something not yet seen. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Christians as people who wait for patience, wait with patience, excuse me, for a hope we do not see with our eyes. Thank goodness that patience and long-suffering are fruits of the Holy Spirit, because it helps us through it. The Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us, comforting us, helping us along that road, as a road of sanctification, if you so will. And in the end, we can trust our Father who art in heaven. In verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Through the Spirit, God provides for us in our weaknesses. When I think about this, you know, I usually don't fully know what God's will is, and I probably ask for things amiss. James brought this out, in chapter 4, verse 3. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, I do pray for myself and the things in the world around me. It has to be aligned with God's will. We know that you should continually pray and pray in thanksgiving. That was brought out in Colossians. Paul wrote in chapter 4, verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, give thanks. So here we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, helping us, groaning to intercede on our behalf and help us communicate with God with our prayers. You think about how many times we communicate with each other and mess it up, misunderstand each other, miscommunicate a point or an issue, get upset with each other. But we have the Holy Spirit acting on our behalf, making sure we're communicating with God in accordance with his will. That perfect communication or prayer to God. And that's why I don't worry about when guys get together and pray, you know, how they pray. The only thing I ever worry about is if they're praying from their heart. How they say the prayer can be all mumble jumble, but are you praying from your heart? Because the Holy Spirit's got it from there. In verse 27, he says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses is by taking the thoughts, the words, our groanings, and communicating them to the Father. the Spirit interceding for us in groans. You know, God made this so easy for us. After all, we are sheep. We're not all the brightest in the world. So God made it easy. He made it easy for me. If you don't know how to pray, relax. The Spirit will help you. He knows our weaknesses. He knows when we're groaning, we're hurt. All you got to do is pray from the heart. Just let it go. And God knows our hearts and what we're going to do before we do it anyways. There's nothing He doesn't know. So we see in these verses, creation, groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. We see the groaning of man, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of our body. And then the groaning of the Spirit providing intercession for us through prayer. Paul helping us to understand one of the ways the Holy Spirit assists us, letting us know we can not only groan, but creation. We're not the only ones groaning. Creation's groaning too. The whole world is groaning. It's waiting for that day of redemption, that day when God comes back and deals with everything. So our focus should always be on the end game. It should be on Christ. Either His return for His church, and we should be abiding in His word while we wait for Him, encouraging one another while we wait for Him, and loving one another while we wait for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just give You thanks for Paul's writings here and just how Your Spirit guided him to help us to understand all of this. And Father, just the life experiences You give us so that we can more deeply understand His word and what He's saying. Father, I lift up everybody who's sick, has the flu, colds, or anything like that, Father, and I would ask You to be with them and heal them. But when You're doing that, Father, I would ask that everybody around would see Your hand in that process, that You would be glorified through it, Father. And I pray that us as a church would glorify You, Father, in everything that we do. I do ask that You help us, guide us, and help us to abide in Your word as we go forth and to share Your Son, Jesus. And it is in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen.